Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time for Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is a special episode. If you're hearing this, well, you are hearing this on Monday, and we, as we record this, don't really know what happened during the week. We are recording into the future. Talk a little bit about Brewers prospects, as I mentioned on last week's episode. Had to, you know, going on a little vacay, so unavailable for a week in review so far. We are doing this on Tuesday. We already know that the Brewers lost badly to the Arizona Diamondbacks on Monday. Tough outing for Corbin Burns. Tough outing for the Brewers. They are no longer in first place. The Cincinnati Reds have taken control of the NL Central. Control in serious air quotes. This thing's coming down all the way to the wire.
What a division.
What a division. It's oh, man. I don't know what we're going to do with this division. It's a tough time. So I am confident that by the time you're hearing this, the Brewers will not be out of the race. There's just not enough runway and not enough teams that are going to be performing at that level for, I mean, certainly they're not going to be doing, the Reds aren't going to be winning all year long here. They've won 9 straight as I speak this. Do you think, Kurt, that by the time people hear this, the Brewers will be back in first place? They've got Arizona, but then they start a road trip that involves Cleveland, very good red hot Cleveland team, the New York Mets, and the Pirates again. What do you think when people hear this? What's your prediction?
Oh, I was just going to say, we should both make one prediction. That's putting me on the spot with that one. I do not think they'll be in first place, no. But I was going to say, I think Friday and Saturday in Cleveland, a combined 5 runs will be scored.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like it.
So that's my...
That's your prediction.
My prediction.
When do All-Star teams get announced?
I think... the Sunday after you're listening to this.
Okay. So like two
weeks from current day.
I won't be able to make a bold prediction about Christian Yelich making the All-Star team or not making the All-Star
team. You can make that 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah, I do think it's just going to be Devin Williams, but I don't know. We could be wrong here. So I think my fearless prediction is that Sal Frelick is going to be in the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll be on the big league roster. By the time you're hearing this.
Relevant?
It is relevant. We're going to talk about Sal Frelick. We're going to talk about all of the prospects in the Brewers organization. So again, apologies for the timing here. Again, if something crazy happens, I'm sure there was some preview to this episode that explained that. We will be back with our normal recap next week after I'm back from vacation. In the meantime, I did want to go into this minor league organization because there are a lot of compelling names here, and we've talked about some of them. Obviously, Sal Frelick is one. Jackson Chourio is another. We're going to hit on those guys, but also wanted to go a little bit deeper and talk about some of the names that I think should be on the radar a little bit more. Abner Uribe comes to mind, a guy that I really think is going to have an impact for this Brewers team at some point this season. And so I think the way we'll do that, Kurt, is first we'll just go through who you consider to be the top 10 prospects in this organization. We'll touch on each of them, and then we'll have a few more names to throw in at the end. The draft is obviously coming up in the not-too-distant future, so there will be new names to add into the fray, but A lot of MLB.com has their rankings. Baseball America has their rankings. These are your personal rankings, so you have to take that into consideration. But I do want to go and talk about each of these guys. But I'm going to start with your number two, because your number two is Sal Frelick, and I guess I think at this point we know what he can do. He's healthy now, although he's just, as we record this, just came off of a lengthy injury absence. So I guess it's, given that, it's very difficult to predict when he's going to be in Milwaukee or how much he's going to do in Milwaukee this year because, and you said this on the last podcast, he's got to build himself back up a little bit. He would still be in the injury rehab phase if he were a big leaguer. But it feels to me like this team, this Milwaukee Brewers team, could benefit at this point, could benefit from having him on the team. If they're going to do everything they can to get to the playoffs, that would include having Sal Frelick in this outfield, particularly in right field where things have not gone well. So, what point is realistic for Sal Frelick to be up? And I mean, is there anything that's going to keep him from this roster for the entire season?
Well, they do have the worst OPS in right field this year.
Out of any team?
Out of any team.
No, yeah, they do not.
They do.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, the worst right field OPS in baseball.
Oh, man. That's so not good for our guy, Brian Anderson.
That in perspective makes your Sal Frelick prediction a little more...
Yeah. they need likely. A jolt. They need a jolt on
they
offense.
They need a jolt, and I don't know if Sal Freeland necessarily is like a ceiling raiser of an offense. That's okay. Generally not his profile. But right field, they're getting like a 570 OPS from him, and Sal Freeland is better than that right now. I mean, he didn't do great to start the year in AAA. Like the batted ball stuff wasn't spectacular as well. He's striking out a little bit more, but I do think with him the strikeouts, if like there's a very real possibility, a little more he could trade out some contact for some power.
Sure,
and that's
like Joey Weimer has at the big league level. For
yeah,
example.
That's yeah recently yeah for sure, and that's sort of the next step I think with Sal is unlocking a little more raw power. Like he doesn't have a ton of it, but there's some more in there that's not quite tapped and. The contact skills are already so good that you could live with a little more strikeout for him to hit more doubles, homers than just singles. So
okay,
I think he should be up here pretty soon.
Do we know what it was that was holding him back earlier this year before the injury? And the injury is probably the obvious answer, but like before he missed time with this thumb issue, he was not hitting the ball well the way he was previous years at AAA. So was there something standing in his way, or was it BABIP? Like was it luck? Do you have any idea?
It was 2 weeks.
That's it. Yeah, I guess.
I don't recall anything that like stood out about. I mean, like there was a little more swing and miss, but
yeah,
it didn't stand.
I didn't realize it was such
a
small.
It did not stand. Yeah, I mean, it was the same night Garrett Mitchell got hurt.
Right.
Which was that first road trip of the year.
Okay.
The tail end of that. So
yeah, that's just not enough time.
It was pretty quickly. Yeah, he didn't really have time to get going.
I feel like he's already a big leaguer. Even though he's not even on the 40-man roster, he is part of this team. He's part of the picture for this team. I think it would be pretty cool to have an outfield. If Garrett Mitchell were healthy, it would have been pretty sweet to at some point this year had Garrett Mitchell, Joey Weimer, and Sal Frelick in that outfield. Because if this team, because we are dubious on what the window is right now for this team, it doesn't feel like this is a championship caliber team. And if they're going to be, it's going to be that outfield. You know, Christian Yelich will be in the picture as well for the next few years, but that is a tantalizing prospect. It's going to be really nice to see him up there, but again, he's a left-handed bat, so it doesn't necessarily help them with the biggest issue, which is that they can't seem to hit left-handed pitching.
But Sal Frelick hits left-handed pitching.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I know he's okay at that, so maybe that is the answer. I don't know.
I think the general problem has shifted from they can't hit lefties to
they can't hit anyone.
So Sal Frelick, what he does is hit.
Yeah. Okay, so he's number two on your list, and number one is not rocket science. You're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. It is Jackson Chourio, who is continuing to smash the ball around at Biloxi. His numbers are not otherworldly. It's not, he's one of the top prospects in baseball, but it's the same story we've preached about. He's 19 years old at AA. That's a rarity all by itself, and the fact that he can hit the ball all around the park is pretty impressive. I know earlier when he was hitting a lot of atom balls, like his numbers didn't reflect how well he was hitting the ball. I haven't looked at him in a while, so I don't know if that's still true, but it sure feels like we should still be, you know, really, really excited about this kid, even though the numbers aren't necessarily jumping off the page.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not the insane performance that he had at low A last year. It's not the really, really good performance he had at high A. He's at double A, which is a lot of people will tell you that's the big jump from A ball to double A,
right,
where you really start facing that next level of pitching. And that's kind of what we see from his performance. Now, like some of the peripherals are encouraging. His walk rate is, he's never going to be a guy that walks a ton. He's walking 7% of the time, which is
okay.
What he's done literally his entire minor league career. He's striking out less than a quarter of the time. You know, he's putting the ball in play. The incredible power hasn't quite shown up, which is interesting because he's still hitting the ball really hard. He's shown to be streakier than we've seen from him in the past. Like he gets it going and then it kind of disappears for a couple games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, nothing new to report. I feel like we talk about Chourio a lot.
Yeah.
He's still the top prospect in the system. I don't think I would put him as a top prospect in baseball, but There's no reason to put him outside your top 5 or 10.
I think what his performance at AA has, there was still in my mind a little tendril of hope or interest in the idea of him being in the big leagues at 19 years old. You know, there are many examples. I shouldn't say many. There are select few examples of some really great players. Juan Soto comes to mind as somebody who is, you know, knocking on the door as a teenager. That's probably not going to happen based on what we've seen. So, I mean, not that that was realistic anyway, but like now that sort of last pathway is closed down for me. I still think it is possible he's here at some point next year. But
next year for sure. Yeah,
you think for sure next year?
I don't think to begin the year, but for sure next. You kind of look at the relatively linear development of this guy, and baseball development's not linear, so it's relatively.
Right.
But you think about next year. By that point, he should be like there's. It's kind of like with Sal Frelick now. What's the point of him at AAA?
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay, number three on your list, Jacob Mizorowski, starting pitcher for, well, pitcher, I guess. I guess no one is truly a starter or reliever in the grand scheme of things, but a really exciting pitcher who was taken in the 2022 draft. Probably the jewel of that draft class, even the night of, you know, the kind of the way they structured things. He wasn't their first pick, but it seems like they saved some money on the first pick so they could get and sign Jacob Mizorowski. As we record this, he's due for a third start at Wisconsin, first home start. He's made two very brief starts, total of 8 in the third innings pitched. He's got 10 strikeouts, 3 walks. He has wowed in his very limited time at Advanced Class A, Wisconsin, for the team in Appleton. So I know you love this guy. I know you're really excited to dig deeper on him.
Yeah, good to see him tonight. That'll be exciting. We'll see how it goes. Everyone will know by this point. Actually, they'll know how his next two starts.
Yeah, I was going to say, there'll be already a start beyond the one that we're talking about right now.
Sunday too, but I feel like I might be the high guy on Jacob Mizorowski, also Tyler Black, who's coming up here soon.
Yeah. Weimer too. Like, you've been as high on those guys as anybody.
Yeah, that's true. There's question about this, like the relief potential, and is he going to last as a starter?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair because of the command, but I don't think the command is like that. Like, he doesn't spray the ball that badly. I don't have the numbers.
His mechanics are a little different, though, right?
Yeah, but he's still, I would say, growing into them a little bit. But it looks far more fluid now than like if you watch his tape at Crowder and JUCO last year. He walked four per nine with the Mudcats, and it's been 3 per 9 so far with the Timber Rattlers. Mm-hmm. Like, it disappears from him at times, but it doesn't like fully like get away from him too often, which is why I think he can. I mean, he's a starter to me. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a 70 grade fastball with really good like characteristics as well. Like, it's got good rise, some run as well. He gets great extension. One person described it to me as like a bowling. Feels like they're hitting a bowling ball.
Oh, wow.
Because it just gets on you so fast.
Sure.
And then, the slider might be even better than the fastball. It's disgusting.
Really?
It's another 70 grade pitch. The curveball's coming along. It's a pretty good pitch. The changeup's not really there in the equation yet. Maybe it could be. I'm not exactly holding out too much hope for that to be like a league average pitch. It would be definitely good for him to have it. The Brewers are trying to get him to work on it. He hasn't flashed much in games though, but he's a guy that can kind of get away with three pitches like that because two of them are so nasty.
Yeah.
There's just not quite anyone. Well, there's definitely not anyone in the system that has this sort of helium to him, like the ceiling as a pitcher. There's not many guys in baseball that have this kind of ceiling to them as pitchers. He's 21, which makes you think, yeah, he's a little bit on the older spectrum, but he has not thrown much. His career high in innings is like 70-something, 72 or 73, which he's going to go over this year, which is why they're being maybe a bit overly cautious with him, but that's why they're doing it. So
I feel like, I mean, he is kind of now reaching the top 100 sort of in baseball lists. You're starting to see his name bubble up there. I think we're headed for top 30, top 25 by the time he makes his big league debut. He's going to be pretty highly regarded around baseball. The thing, though, with him, well, there's nothing. I mean, he sounds great. The Brewers don't have any other pitchers, right? Like, there's nobody else that you really hang your hat on and say. I mean, obviously, there's some
guys.
Dark horses. There's, you know, Carlos
Rodriguez.
Carlos Rodriguez. There are guys in there, but no one that you're like, oh, that's the next great ace.
Yeah, there's no ace.
And for a
team
that's about to like run out of time with the aces they have now, I guess is that still the biggest issue here? Like, is this farm system just not going to give them another wave of pitchers?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue. But you know, if you look at, you have a Mizorowski, and then you've got a couple of arms that we'll get to in the top 10 that like should be big league starters, that's not a terrible place to be. It's just not quite where it was 5 years ago, four years ago, with some of those guys already in the big leagues.
And I'm reminded that, like, Corbin Burnes was not a first-round pick. Was he fourth round?
Fourth rounder,
he was a guy who came up as a reliever. I mean, they saw him as a starter, but he wasn't – he wasn't can't miss. He was just, he just performed very well in the minors. Brandon Woodruff is a, is not a can't miss prospect. He performed very well. And when he made his major league debut, I kind of thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. They're kind of, you know, seeing what sticks on the wall. Like they're giving him a shot. And then he ends up becoming dominant. Freddie Peralta is a throw in on a trade for Adam Lind. You know, like it's not like they have, these guys weren't top of the line guys like Jacob Mizrowski is to start his minor league career.
Yeah.
So that's something to bear in mind as well. There is another pitcher that we will talk about in a second. Number four on your list, though, you mentioned Tyler Black, the Canadian infielder who is with Biloxi right now. He could we see him this year? Is that remotely possible?
I had that thought this morning, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't know where the spot would
be. It's not such a can't-miss bat. And I don't like the question with him is where does he play?
Mm-hmm.
First base is kind of a fallback, but –
he doesn't have a first
really,
baseman's
yeah,
bat.
You don't really want to play. He might. We'll see. But
okay. You
kind of just don't want to put prospects at first base generally.
Yeah.
Like I just don't know how. Like they'll probably try him at third or second or something and see how it goes. But that's the question with him.
That would be maybe if Terang moves to shortstop.
Yeah. He was such a high contact guy, Tyler Black was, going into this year. He's still a pretty high contact guy, but he has traded it for power. Like he's swinging and missing a little bit more. But his ground ball rate has shot down. His fly ball rate has shot up.
Okay.
Best eye in the system. Like he's going to walk. He just had a 35 game on base streak, which just ended in a game where he got a catcher's interference, which I guess does not count.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because you're 0 for, do you go 0 for 1 on a CI? I think you do. I mean, you reach on an error.
Is that what it is?
It is an error. I don't think it's 0 for 1 though. I think it's 0 for 0.
Well, either way, JR, his fly ball rate, in 2021 in A-ball was 19.6%. Now it's 40.5%. So
okay, that sounds great.
That's I think the big reason why Tyler Black is. I don't know if anyone else has him ahead of Caro like I do.
Yeah.
But I just I love the bat and think he might be passable somewhere like second.
Okay, we just went through a situation where Keston Hiura was a guy who had a great hit tool and they added power, and obviously Keston Hiura swings and misses a little bit more than Tyler Black does, and I think always has. But tell me why I shouldn't be concerned that that's what's happening here. And I don't know.
I don't think the swing has changed all that much.
Okay.
Also, Tyler Black's still walking 20% of the time.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Like Keston Hiura was always hit.
Yes.
Tyler Black's still not like a huge power guy, but he's just doing more with his batted ball data.
Yeah. Well, he's got a 890 or is it 9? It might even be 900 OPS at Biloxi.
He also has 37 steals.
Oh, excuse me? Did you say 37?
He's on pace to steal, which is interesting because he's not like an 80 grade speed guy. He's not even a 70 grade speed guy. He's like a 60 grade speed guy.
He does not have 37 steals. Are you serious?
But he's really good base runner. He's not blazing fast. He is not.
He's just
Churio's faster. Weimer might be faster. Like Terang's faster, Sal might be faster, but Tyler Black is an insane base runner.
37 steals, caught 4 times, so 37 for 41. So future team, that includes Mitchell, Weimer, Bryce Terang, Frelick, Tyler Black, Christian Yelich, who even at age 35 will probably be able to run a little bit. That is
Churio.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone plays in the outfield. No infielders.
Speed. Can we switch from baseball to track? Because I feel like that would be that'd be pretty solid track team you got there. You said that not many people have ranked Jefferson Caro. Jefferson, I think, is what it actually is. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, Jefferson.
So
Jefferson
people Caro. Have not ranked. Most people don't put Jefferson Caro ahead of Tyler Black.
No, they do.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're the one who does not. And he's having a great year. And there's a position scarcity issue here too because he's a catcher. I don't know. I'm not acquainted well enough with his defense to know if that's for sure going to stick and if he is a guy who's going to be able to play a quality defensive big league catcher. But he is lighting it up while everyone's eyes are on Jackson Churio and Biloxi. Jefferson Caro is having a better year even statistically and really becoming an exciting player. So give me the rundown on what you know from him.
I mean, Jefferson Caro is exciting. He's an elite defensive catcher. Which is, it's rare to see from a prospect, especially one that's 20 playing above his age. He's got a good hit tool. Mm-hmm. His plate discipline is definitely not there. He likes to chase. He likes to swing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily translate into a lot of swing and miss, though. Like his career high strikeout rate is this year at 19.8%. So it's
he had 30 walks all of last year.
Yeah, he's walking a little more this year. Mm-hmm. That's right. 9.1%, which is actually probably a really, really big development for him because he was an incredibly free swinger last year. Now he's just a free swinger. Yeah. So I'd say the hit tool, aside from fielding and throwing, is probably his best tool. Like the power is – the raw power is not immense. He does do a pretty good job of translating it into games, and that's kind of hard for me to project going out into the big leagues. Like I don't know how well that'll – that equation generally carries over. But if he can have a league average power, he's going to be a really, really, really good player.
So he'll be 21 at the end of the year in October. And then you got to think he'll spend most of next year at AAA. But I guess it does sort of inform what they're going to do in their catching spot. Obviously, William Contreras is here. What are they going to do with Victor Caratini, who quite honestly is, as backup catchers go,
good.
I don't know, like best in baseball? I haven't compared.
Good backup catcher.
You can't really ask for more. So I got to think that's their first move. And then it just becomes a matter of when Caro is ready. So that's interesting. I've definitely been keeping an eye on him. He seems like he's on the path to being pretty special. Mentioned that we would have to mention one other pitcher, and here's another one that by the time people hear this, I shouldn't say that. I don't think by the time people hear this, Robert Gasser will be in the big leagues at all. However, we got to see him at some point this year, right? Like is there a scenario where we don't see Robert Gasser in the making a start for the Milwaukee Brewers at some point this year?
I think there's a scenario for that for sure.
Okay.
I think he could pitch in the major leagues right now. I just think that the rotation is lined up. Like they have the rotation filled right now. They have Adrian Hauser in the bullpen. Brandon Woodruff's coming back. As of now, I kind of would not be surprised to see him like before we see Eric Lauer if it comes down to that.
He's for just sure
pitching better right now. I've been wondering if like relief, they kind of do the relief thing with him, and that's possible. Like he's got two really good secondaries with his slider and his curveball. So
all their great starting pitchers started as relievers. They brought them up to kind of get their feet wet, and it worked out.
That is true. That is what happened. So he could fit into that mold. He's not on the 40-man right now. I think it might be wise to try to get his feet wet in relief later in the year. He started to figure some things out, especially with command and mixing pitches and like sequencing really well recently. He throws six pitches.
Really?
Cutter, fastball, sinker, curveball, changeup, slider. And recently he's been throwing them pretty equally too, which is seems like a pretty clear thing that they want him to do is work on all of your pitches. And the results have been good of late. I think his ERA is still a little over four in general, but I think he's pitched better than that in reality. And if he can hone in the command, he's a number four starter.
Okay. He just turned 24. And so he's not going to be in the minors much longer, obviously. There's also the baggage that this is the last standing prospect to come over in the Josh Hader trade. And I don't know how that will manifest, if it manifests at all. I have no idea. You know, at some point, the Hader trade is actual water under the bridge and not something that we keep coming back to. It's as much as our fault as anybody.
By 2027.
2029? I don't know, man. When the Bucks have another first-round draft pick, that's when we'll stop talking about Josh Hader. So there is that. I mean, there are going to be a lot of people looking at him. And even though you could say, well, they also got a Story Ruiz in that deal, and that guy became William Contreras, who is inarguably one of the bright spots for the Milwaukee Brewers this year, you're still going to be looking at that guy as somebody who came over directly in that deal with San Diego. His overall numbers, like you said, nothing special. 1.29 whip, 4.24 ERA. He's got 78 strikeouts, which is pretty solid in 68 innings. I would say definitely better than solid. But you know, you would expect that he's got to contribute sooner or later because he's, you know, did just turn 24 years old. He's a guy that wasn't brought over here to marinate in the minor leagues forever. And granted, this is only a year in the Brewer system.
Not pitched in Double A when they traded for him too.
Okay.
So it feels like he's been at AAA forever, but he really hasn't.
Yeah, he has not. And he, you know, as we record this, his last start was really, really good. It was hit six scoreless innings. He is prone to giving up, you know, four or five runs in an outing. That is not uncommon for him. So will be interesting to see how they bring him along. I think pretty clearly he's passed Ethan Small in the pecking order of
for sure
of left-handers at AAA.
Yeah,
but I
think even like in a AAA guys, he'd pass up Jansen Junk, who's on the 40-man of like would be more likely to get a call up.
You know what? I want to take a side diversion here because you mentioned Jansen Junk and Ethan Small. What's the future for these guys? Is hope lost for Ethan Small? Jansen Junk had one opportunity thus far this year. It did not go well, but he's a guy who came over in a deal with the Angels, and he's been pitching well. What would you predict for the future for those two guys?
I don't think all hope is lost for Ethan Small, but it's going to be tough. I barely ranked him on my top 30. He's at 28. Just because he's like the changeup is still really good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's getting great results. I just don't know. How old is he now? What, 26? Mm-hmm. At what point is the command just beyond your ability to figure out? And with him, it's not just command and like it's not just control. Like it's not just the walks, but it's also command. And when he often misses in the zone. And when the fastball is in certain parts of the zone, it's very hittable. So I don't know. They'll be on the 40-man, but going into an offseason, if you get a 40-man roster crunch, that's where it gets tricky.
He was born on my birthday. I did not know that. Ethan Small. He is 26 years old. We were born on the exact same day. I am many years older than him. We mentioned him already. Another pitcher on this list, Carlos Rodriguez. So this is your number seven guy. Carlos Rodriguez is one of two Carlos Rodriguezes in the organization. That is
on the Shuckers.
Yes,
they're both on the Shuckers.
That has to be confusing for both Biloxi fans and fans of Brewers minor league baseball. So tell me what we should know about this guy, because now we're getting into names that I don't think people have necessarily considered for future Brewers.
Well, Carlos Rodriguez is young. What, 21, 20? He's pitched well at every step. He had a rough outing last time out with Biloxi, but
he's 21.
He's got a couple of good fastballs. I think the cutter's a sneaky good pitch. There was a bunch of average to slightly above average secondaries. I think the changeup has come along really well this year. It's another back end projected arm, but I think if you look at ceiling, his ceiling is higher than Robert Gasser's.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the very least, like he'll get a shot as a big league starter at some point.
Okay,
between the stuff and the command, it's. Yeah, it's a big league arm.
Okay. From young to much, much, much younger, 18-year-old Luis Lara. He is a single A. He's at single A, Carolina Mudcats. If you want to dream big, 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 that's the next Churio type, super young player who is way outperforming what you would expect from an 18-year-old at single A. He is also from Venezuela. He is teeny tiny. He's 5'7", 155 pounds, but he's a outfielder, and I don't know if somebody teeny tiny can end up being a major leaguer. I mean, he's 18 years old. He might not be done growing. That's probably not. He's probably not done. But let me know what you think of him.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's performing like kind of similar to Churio did last year with Carolina, but they're different prospects. Like he's not nearly as toolsy as Churio is,
sure.
Which is why you're not seeing him, you know, in top hundreds at flying up to the top of the Brewer system. Right now, which Churio was already doing by the time he got to the Timber Rattlers last year.
That's right.
But Lara's contact is great. Like by the time all said and done, maybe 65 hit tool, maybe 70. Mm-hmm. Like he's got that potential. I wouldn't expect it out of him.
And for those who – just real quick, hit tool goes to 80, right?
Yeah, all tools, yeah. 20, okay. 20 to 80 on
20
scale.
To 80. Yep. We know it's weird, but that's just how it is.
But I think like a 60 hit tool is something you could – reasonably think he could do. He's got some raw power in there too. Like when he unleashes on baseballs,
Nice.
But like you said, he's 5'7", unlocking it on a regular basis. It's not Churio-like in that regard. Like he's got some bat speed, but not Churio bat speed.
Yeah.
He's fast, pretty good fielder. So yeah, it's just if he was maybe 4 inches taller.
He'd be a superstar.
You would be looking at some serious potential there. So, yeah, I don't want to say shot up the ranks this year. He was kind of like considering the top 15-ish in spring training. But then, they straight promoted him to Carolina, skipped over the complex league, and he's hitting well there.
Yeah, 835 OPS, which is pretty impressive considering he only has one home run. Like he's not getting
a lot of walks.
Yeah,
he's got good plate discipline. Not great, but good plate discipline.
Okay, I love that.
I'd be curious to see how that translates over to high A, where guys can
command
throw a little, like they can actually throw strikes there.
Yeah,
they don't really do that in low A.
He's Got 11 stolen bases as well. So really nice numbers for him. You got to pack that one away. I don't think Luis Lara is somebody we're going to be talking about for the next couple Brewers teams or anything like that. But keep that in mind. He does turn 19 in November. Okay, now we're to a guy that I think – I know I've brought up a couple names of somebody who will contribute to the Brewers this year. I really, really think this guy will contribute to the Brewers this year.
He should.
He should. He's got to stop walking some people. But Abner Uribe, he's a power arm. He's now at AAA. He is 23 years old, 6'3", big body kid. Fascinating to watch for a number of reasons, which I definitely want to discuss. He's going to strike out the ballpark and walk everybody else. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a Ricky Vaughn situation, but it would just be really fun to have him in the big league bullpen. He's got a 2.16 ERA across a couple levels this year. He's been promoted to AAA. So tell me everything you know about Abner Uribe.
He throws the heck out of the ball.
He is a triple digit guy,
but I think his slider might even be better.
Really?
Well, so the thing with his fastball is, I mean, he's going to throw it average like 9,900. Mm-hmm. It does not get a ton of induced vertical break, which means like he's not – it does not appear to be rising nearly as much as most fastballs, especially at that velo, which makes it a little more hittable, which makes him rely on location and sequencing all the more. He does have a good sinker that goes with it. I think that might honestly be his better fastball is the sinker. But the slider is really good. I don't know. He just throws hard. He throws hard.
Yeah. You know, and he doesn't have a ton of track record here where in terms of like overall innings thrown in the minor league. So, yes, he's got some walk issues, but we're not even talking about high volume innings. Like in 2021 with Carolina, he pitched in 17 games at Carolina. 2019 across a couple levels, he only appeared in 7 games. You know, there's not a ton out there on him. So, I have to think that he's still evolving a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's 22.
Yeah,
kind of like with Mizrowski, not a ton of innings.
Yeah.
On that arm, honestly, like the thing I will say about the fastball is it gets good. It's got good horizontal. Like the four seam's got good horizontal.
Okay.
The sinker's got really good horizontal as well. So you can definitely make it work despite the fastball not getting a lot of rise on it.
Okay.
But that is kind of like the shape of it is a bit of a concern. You think of like it's not quite Mizorowski's, which is like 100 and zooming on people.
Yeah. He's also a character. tell me about this.
He's an 80 grade
personality.
80 grade guy out there.
He is going to have Milwaukee in the palm of his hand if he comes up here and performs.
Yeah. I think like the first time he strikes out to end an inning with the bases loaded, strikes a guy out. He might run up to Bernie's dugout and slide down. This is a guy who got tossed after finishing a save this year, after spiking the ball back to the backstop because he didn't like an ump's call. Like he's a character. He's got a little bit of a maniac in him, which is on the field, which is exactly what you want in your late inning guy.
Like, oh, absolutely.
As long as you can find a way to channel that in a game and use it to your advantage, which I think he does.
Yeah, he's a great time. Very excited to see what he can do here, even if it's just in very small doses this year and the years after that. Eric Brown Jr., it's pretty rare to have a top 10 list and you don't talk about your most recent first-round pick in the first 9 picks, I would say. That's probably a good sign for the Brewers. But again, like I mentioned this earlier, I think the Brewers went a little safer with Eric Brown so that they could get Jacob Mizrowski in terms of this whole slot value thing, which I don't even feel like going into. If you know, you know.
If you know.
So, but he's obviously a very talented guy, and he's playing shortstop for Wisconsin. He is 22 years old already, and he'll be 23 in December. So he's 22. He's been out as we record this for most of June with what I think is a minor injury, but
thumb injury.
So,
supposedly minor.
Yeah. The thing about the minor leagues is guys could like not play for 2 weeks, and you then just learn that he has an injury. Like it's always shrouded in a little bit of mystery. So that's a little bit of a concern, but not a huge one. What do you think of him? He's a college guy, and I know he's had a solid year so far, right?
Yeah, he got off to a horrible start. Like really, really bad. Since May 3rd, though, he's hitting .330 with an .854 OPS. So he figured it out quickly because before that, JR, let me pull up the numbers here. He was 5 for his first 49 with a .287 OPS. So it's as with any player, it's neither, it's never the valleys and it's
never the peaks.
Never the peaks.
Right.
So it's somewhere in between with him. I think there was big questions about his defense and like if you could say it's short coming to the pros. And he's so athletic that it's translated really well to shortstop. So I think that's the biggest plus that the Brewers have seen from him since he was drafted, or at least in my mind. He does not drive the baseball very often. Like I don't have the exit velo numbers in front of me, but it's probably not great. He was a contact first guy coming out of college. He's still a contact first guy now. He runs well. So, I mean, there's certainly like a at the very least, like a bench platoon player somewhere in there, maybe. Just
okay.
Whenever there's a guy and the question is if he can hit enough, that's always enough of a red flag for me to like just have a huge question mark lingering over him. And it's hard. It's weird to say that because he's hitting .330 over his last month, but I just don't know how much damage is in there.
Yeah.
We'll see. I do think he made some good adjustments with the swing over that last month. And started to get acclimated to like seeing pitching better as well. So he's been out 2 weeks though, so we haven't seen him in a while. I'll be curious to see how he finishes up the year. He's the guy who could maybe work his way up to Biloxi by the end of the year.
Okay. All right. So that's your top 10. And those are the guys obviously you want to keep an eye on. These are the guys who have the best potential to become, you know, I would say better than average players, star players even in the big leagues. But there are a couple more names I want to touch on. One of them is Quentin Lowe. I know you really like talking about this guy. This is a two-way player. He's offense and pitches. Obviously, there has been a little bit of a movement in the Shohei Ohtani era where teams try to develop that type of talent. It has not, I would say, gone well at all for most teams, and most players, I think, kind of end up reverting to one or the other. I think the only real other example the Brewers have had recently is Lucas Ursig, who didn't play both but just switched from offense to pitching and now pitches for the Oakland A's and shut them out over two multi-inning appearances in that dreaded A's series that we won't talk anymore about. Quentin Lowe, I don't know if it sticks. It's at low A at this point, but give me a sense of what you know about him.
Yeah, I think he's a pitcher.
Okay.
They probably drafted him on the premise like and signed him on the premise.
We'll let you do both. For now.
Yeah, but the stuff is so nasty. It's so nasty. He throws as hard as Mizorowski and Abner Uribe. The command, not so nasty.
Oh, okay,
but I mean he's a reliever. It's a relief profile, but I don't know where I have him ranked. Like in mid 20s, low 20s.
Okay, because there's a ceiling to how much he can do if he's
yeah. But also within that role, the ceiling is very high.
Sure.
He was drafted out of high school as a two-way player, kind of a hitter first. But the reality is, like, if you can tap into that, you know, that arm a little more and kind of let him figure it out, start throwing a little more strikes without losing the nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
You
got something.
You've got a guy there. I don't know how many strikeouts does he have this year.
Only eight, but it's pretty limited work at single A here.
Hold on, I think that might be his hitting numbers, right?
Oh, sorry. You're absolutely right. 20, I'm looking at his hitting numbers.
22 strikeouts in 13 innings.
Nine
walks. So that's what you got.
Which is also what Abner Uribe had and he had even more innings pitched. So that is a lot.
I mean, yeah, it's 13 innings. I remember when Abner Uribe was coming up. There was so much attention around because he threw hard, and Quentin Lowe is kind of that guy.
Okay.
Doesn't get the attention. So
Quentin Lowe, that is a name you have to file away. How old is he? How old is
20...
he these days? 20 years old. 20 years old.
Turns 21 in September.
Yep. So he'll be 21 by the end of the season. So he'll be moving up for sure. We'll certainly hear his name more often.
And who knows? Maybe he never figures out the command. But
all right, I'm going to throw three names at you at once here. These are names that you had recommended as guys that we should talk about. So I'm just going to let you riff on all of them. We've got Justin Jarvis, Luke Wessner.
Tyler Wessner.
Sorry, not Luke. It's Luke Adams.
Luke Adams. Yep.
Luke Adams. Tyler Wessner. Justin Jarvis. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Justin Jarvis is interesting. He's always had like really good characteristics on his fastball, like that thing be rising,
mm-hmm.
like me in the morning. It's getting up. And he has added velocity to it, like 94, 95 sits now.
Okay.
A couple of good breakers. He's pitched pretty well.
He's at Wisconsin.
At Biloxi this year.
Oh, he's at Biloxi.
Yeah, I don't know. 22 maybe? He was another high school guy that the Brewers drafted, and they're kind of like, there was a lot of potential there, and they're kind of untapping it now. 3.32 ERA this year at Biloxi. That's inflated by he had a bad start last time out. 74 strikeouts in 65 innings to only 22 walks. So he's a guy that I think I'd be curious to see at AAA because you never know. The thing with the AA guys, we haven't talked about this, is the sticky ball, like the stickier balls that they're using,
yeah.
the controlled baseballs, it's kind of makes it a little more difficult to evaluate anyone at that level. Like hitting is harder, pitching is theoretically easier, but also like maybe not
right.
if a guy just does not perform well with that ball. But Jarvis is the guy who, because his fastball is so based on like it's just so based on like these metrics that you wonder like how much is he being inflated by the AA. So I'd like to see him at AAA at some point.
Well, I also, I mean, he's been in the organization since 2018. At some point, they're going to have to add him to the 40-man or let him go, you know? So I think at some point, they have to know what they have with
him. That would put him on the 40-man.
Next year, I think, right?
He'd have to be protected, yeah. It's always interesting with starters and, like, are they really going to get drafted in the Rule 5? Is the team going to, you know?
Yeah.
That makes it tricky, but, yeah, he might be a 40-man ahead this offseason, for sure.
He strikes me as the type of guy that, you know how you start the year and you don't talk about him, but then they end up pitching a bunch of innings. Colin Ray comes to mind for this year, or, you know, even Jansen Junk. Like, he strikes me as a guy that they call up for a couple starts to see what they have, and maybe he works out. Maybe he makes the most of his opportunity, maybe not.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is 23 years old now at AA, so it's time to make the turn to the big leagues or not. So
yeah. The other guy I think needs to get promoted just to, like, see what's, you know, what's going on at the next level there is Wasner.
Okay.
He's 23. He'll be 23 all year. He's a JUCO arm that they drafted last year, but he's like the oldest JUCO arm ever to be taken. He's
really?
For 4 years. He just stayed so long in JUCO.
That's very hard to do.
For a variety of reasons. But he's got a 2.52 ERA at Wisconsin this year. Strikes out about one per inning. Great mustache. Big arm, big guy. 6'4", 230, like every inch of that as well. He throws hard, 96, 97, I think he's touched. I think the thing with him is I think the stuff can still play up a little more.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the fastball's good. The slider's good. He's getting a strikeout per nine, but I think there's potential to get more in there. But I'd like to see him at AA at some point here. Like he's good enough for high A. He's going to be 24 next year. So
yeah, so fans of the organization might want to get over to Appleton to check him out while they still can because he's a potential future big leaguer there pitching for Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right. And then Luke Adams was the other one we're discussing. He was what did they draft him in, like the 11th, 12th round last year out of high school, Illinois kid.
Yeah, he's a newcomer.
Yep. Bigger, they went above slot to sign him. They had to. I don't remember where he was committed. Maybe Michigan State or something like that. But Toolsy guy.
Okay.
Toolsy guy. Lots of power.
Talking about third baseman, corner infielder.
Yeah. Corner infield. We'll see if he can stick a third. I mean, he's mashing at Carolina right now. 406 on base, 423 slug, and that's despite only hitting 221 for a variety of reasons that involve this pretty high strikeout rate, but 22.1%. He strikes out a bit.
18 stolen bases as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a toolsy guy. There's some serious ceiling there as well. I'd venture to guess he'll spend most of the year and finish out the year in Carolina, maybe.
Well, I mean, he's only 19. Him and Luis Lara could both be pretty young.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Two pack.
But out of last year's hitting prospects they drafted, he might be the one that's most interesting, have the highest ceiling. Yeah, okay. I think I can stay with that.
This organization does not bother with corner infielders.
No,
and there's an understandable philosophy behind that. You've got guys who play, you know, you draft guys who can play the tougher positions, and if you got to move them to the corners, that's fine. But you just get guys who are really good up the middle. But love it or hate that strategy, they have not had corner infielders filtering up through this organization. They've had to add those guys. Obviously, Prince Fielder is an exception, but.
That was a while. That was a couple of years back.
Yeah. It's been a minute now.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, third base, I think, is one of the spots on the team this year. And first base, for that matter, that, you know, you'd like to see a little bit more out of. Maybe Luke Adams as a corner guy, if he sticks there, could be that guy. But given that you have a question, maybe he's a future outfielder. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't speak too earnestly about his defense. Some of these guys, for sure, I can a little more, but not necessarily him. Yeah.
I got a couple more questions. We'll go in the deep, deep future here because I'm going to throw a couple names at you. There are a couple of younger guys, and by younger, I mean like they could almost be our children. They're like 17 years old.
Maybe your children.
Maybe my children. Maybe not so much yours. Yeah, we're getting to the point where
I do have a 1-year old.
Every person who covers sports confronts this on many different phases.
It's a crisis.
Oh, now all the players are younger than
me.
I
am in the crisis.
Oh, now all the minor leaguers are. First it's the minor leaguers.
Yeah, wait till they're
now
they're all a new generation.
Now we're getting to the point where my kids could maybe hang out with some of these guys. They're not quite there yet.
If your son, if you like lived in Venezuela, your son would be like getting scouted.
Absolutely right. And he would.
Which we could go into the ethics of that, but we'll save that for a different day.
I love watching my son play sports, but he would not be getting scouted right now. Two names, Yofiri Rodriguez, Kevin Aroo, I think is how you say it. Both guys that have been added to the organization very recently. They're in rookie ball. They're 17 years old. I get that when you talk about 17-year-olds, it's crazy. But these guys are already showing up on prospect lists, and they are, I would say, pretty highly regarded. So do you know anything about these guys? Is probably the best way to frame that.
I'm going to drop a – this is probably an insane thing for me to say, but I have Yofiri Rodriguez ranked as my 12th prospect.
Are you serious? Well, we got to talk about him
now. I do. It's always a dangerous thing to do with 17-year-olds, but – But
these guys would just now be committing to play football.
We have not seen much of like video, but JR.
It's cool, huh?
Like the tools are there, the frame is there. I don't know. Like you just don't see many kids at that age, like that are signed internationally, have this kind of advanced approach, this kind of plate discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Not to scout small sample stat lines in the Dominican Summer League.
Yes,
which is my favorite and also my least favorite activity ever. But we're gonna do it a little bit.
I mean, he's dominating.
He's walked in 28% of his plate appearances. He's played in, and that's been 50 plate appearances.
Yeah. He has a 500 on base percentage. They are afraid of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's and like the one I really don't think you want to like look too much into the power numbers in that league for sure. Like the fields are kind of wonky.
Yeah,
the pitching.
No one goes to games.
The pitching. It's very very difficult to evaluate. But the things that you can evaluate in a guy, like he does not swing at balls.
Yeah.
He has good bat speed. He is able to drive the ball. He's got a frame that he can grow into. I don't know anything about his defense. Admittedly, no. He's pretty fast too. So, like, it might be a bit of a ceiling rank, but I could very well see him or even Kevin Arreu, like the other guy we're going to talk about here, like next year after you kind of get a better look at them and extended spring training or the complex league or whatnot, like being a pretty highly regarded guy in the system. Arreu is more of a defensive guy with like some pretty good bat to ball skills.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's always hard to dig too much into the DSL guys, but
and honestly, we're talking about names that won't matter to Brewers fans for 4 years, so it's really hard to it's hard to spend too much time on them. But
yeah,
did sign for a $1.5 million signing bonus. Trained with Carlos Guillen, former big leaguer, when he was when he was coming up here. So interesting guy. If you are looking for that next Churio, that's we threw out a couple names: Luis Lara, Yofiri Rodriguez. That might be where we end up.
Yeah,
going.
The range of outcomes is wide.
Last thing. I mentioned that sometimes these guys pop up out of nowhere and end up contributing, and Colin Ray is one example this year. Are there other guys at AAA, AA possibly too, but primarily in upper echelon that still might make an impact in some way, shape, or form for the Brewers team this year? I feel like we've used most of the guys. Like most of the guys have been here or are here. But is there a name or two that we should not rule out as being somebody that we could see here in 2023? I mean, 2024 too, but guys that we're going to see very soon.
Yeah, from guys we haven't mentioned. That's a good one. Pulling up the roster, I think.
Here's an example. There's Caleb Bushley, who is from Fond du Lac or Hortonville. I think he's from Hortonville.
Wisconsin,
correct. yes, he's from Wisconsin. He is not lighting the world on fire in AAA. But he is somebody that you could see them bringing up for a spot start if they had to. Now, he's not on the 40-man. That's probably not going to happen. But still, that's just a name that people might want to know, only because he's a Wisconsin guy, that he could ultimately – he's been pitching in the rotation all year for Nashville. He could ultimately come up and make an appearance for the Brewers. So I'm not even talking about guys who are going to, make 10 starts or do anything like that.
I think Thomas – I don't want to say Panone? Panone?
Yeah, yeah.
Panini? A guy they signed to a minor league deal this offseason. I think he is a very, very, very deep name.
Okay.
Like we mentioned earlier, they have guys that can make starts. and they're getting healthier. Mm-hmm. But he's been good. I think the stuff's kind of interesting there as well. Darryl Thompson's still a name that's on my radar, a lefty indie ball signing out of the bullpen.
Okay.
Nasty slider. They promoted him from, I think he started at AA this year and is now up to AAA. I don't think he's pitched great there, but the stuff is certainly interesting. Thiago Vieira throws 100 miles an hour down at AAA.
He does.
He's been pretty good. Eddie Alvarez.
Eddie Alvarez
is not a prospect. He's been spent a lot of time in the big leagues, but he's just playing well.
Every time I see the Nashville Sounds tweet, it's because Eddie Alvarez
did something. Yeah, I mean, he's been in the big leagues each of the last 3 years, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. Like 406 on base, 505 slug. That's not the major leagues, of course, but it is AAA, and those are good numbers. Yeah. And I don't know.
For those who do not know the story, he's an Olympic speed skater.
Olympic speed skater.
Who was in camp this year and kind of went viral for doing like a lap around the clubhouse in Arizona wearing rollerblades, which was very fun. But he has not obviously been at the big league level here with the Brewers, but that would certainly be a talker.
Yeah, there's just so many spots where they could use different guys on the offense, like to just try them.
Yeah.
And so he's a possibility. Josh Van Meter is rehabbing right now.
That's right.
In the complex league.
Tyler Naquin, too.
But yeah, they're on the radar, I guess.
Former
big
leaguers.
There's guys above them, like Keston Hira would get that Josh Van Meter spot first, probably. Mm. Although Van Meter can play all over, so that helps him out. So there's some deep sleepers there, and there's some spots open on the offense for sure. Like, that's where I would look at it. Obviously, the bullpen, of course. But
right.
They've kind of been shuffling the same names at the back end there.
And, of course.
Unless it's Uribe.
And, of course, Keston Hira and Bryce Terang are two guys who are big leaguers in AAA right now, and maybe depending on how Keston does when he gets back, or Bryce right now dropping down to AAA. Not a super fast start for Terang at AAA offensively. His value at the big league level, I don't know if we can safely say this because I think he could still grow offensively, but he's a defense first guy and
showed
that.
That's what we said, and that's what we've been saying for a while with him, yeah.
Yep. So that is obviously something to follow as well. Any last thoughts before I let you go, Kurt, on this minor league edition of Microbrew?
No, that was fun.
It is fun. We don't
dig prospects.
We don't get to dig in midseason that often. So wanted to take that opportunity here. Again, apologies that there isn't more on the current situation with the Milwaukee Brewers. I will be back just in time for the Brewers to be back in town after this long 10-game road trip, and we'll discuss what's happening. We can talk all-star teams. We can talk who's in first place in the National League Central. Which team that you
Cardinals.
Never thought could be the...
They brought the Astros back.
Oh, are the Cardinals going to be in first place by the time I get back from... Remember, I am not going to be back on vacation until right as we're recording the next podcast. So June is done. I'm done with June.
They won't be in first place.
No, there's no way.
They will be closer.
You think,
much closer.
Will they be within 3 games of
first
place?
No, not 3 games. The Reds will be on a 20-game win streak.
The Reds are never losing again. LA De La Cruz is the revolution the NL Central badly needed.
They're going to hand the division title in the NL Central to the second-place NL West team.
This is such a stupid division. It's such a stupid division.
Congratulations, Giants.
I mean, the Dodgers were a third-place team. I haven't even looked today. But they were a third-place team a little while ago here with what's going on now that the Giants are on the rise, too. So this is a very stupid division. Someone's going to win it, Kurt, and we'll have obviously more about that next week and every week on Microbrew. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will chat with you again very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.